Tomorrow I'll invent those blueprints. Tomorrow I'll start.
Are y'all ready for this? No. Wow. What's going on, people? It's your boy, Corey. And my man, Mr. Kirk.
What's up?
And welcome back to Tomorrow Isle, people. What will you do tomorrow? What will you do today to achieve your creative dreams? I'm Corey. That's Kirk. And what are we talking about today, Mr. Kirk?
What are we getting into? What are we getting into? Oh.
What are we getting into?
What is going on over there?
Oh, I was just doing a kill shot.
I had it vertically,
and I was just like, nah. Since my screen is now very liquid, thanks to Mr. Kirk and Magnus helping me out with that the other week.
Oh, yeah, we can go into kill shot mode.
Yeah. And I can turn it sideways whenever I please and actually get a panoramic view, so I'm happy about that.
You're going to be playing Deadshot in the next, in the next reboot of Suicide Squad / Sinister Six?
Do you think the world's ready for that? You know? I don't know.
Are you ready for that? Are you ready to be... You could probably do Sinister Six.
Probably could.
Or Secret Six, not Sinister Six.
Or Secret, yes. Well, either way, man. I mean...
Sinister Six is... Yeah. What you call it, though?
Sinister Six is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. That's a... Those Secret are them, them boys, or me and the boys now.
Oh, you and the boys?
That's stupid. Yeah, you don't... They turned the Sinister Six into a meme. The 60s Spider-Man. So Rhino. Yeah, it's... Like, don't mind, it's just me and the boys or something like that. Or
oh, goodness. I haven't seen that one.
Through.
I'll have to check it out.
It's very stupid.
Well, send it to me.
You could definitely be Deadshot in Secret Six with Catman and Bane. I'm trying to remember who the other people are.
Yeah, Catman, Bane, Deadshot, I guess, was Deadshot, in there at some point. Yeah, okay.
And then there's a woman whose name escapes me. And then I feel like somebody else.
Wow. Kind of recognize.
I enjoyed that comic a lot. But
My dad's had a couple of those.
Yeah. Well, Blackest Night put an end to my enjoyment of it. So.
Not a fan, I see.
No.
I never read Blackest Night. Was it just like that crossover into Secret Six that you didn't enjoy, or was it just the entirety of Blackest Night?
It was the entirety of Black. I mean, I liked the idea. Sure. We're going down deep nerd rabbit hole here. I enjoyed the idea that there were other lanterns out there that, like, they went through the whole color spectrum or the, you know, spectrum of visible light, whatever.
And yeah.
Each one had its own attribute, but I just don't like Hal Jordan. Yeah, I hate Hal Jordan. And then the fact that it was DC, yeah, seriously. DC capitalizing on like zombies because Walking Dead had really popped off at that time. So like how can we do zombies? Like, well,
we'll do it like that.
Yeah, we'll get Batman's skull and a bunch of shit will fall out of Batman's skull, and then the whole DC universe will be overrun by zombies and that'll be the end, and we'll just restart a whole bunch of storylines because we killed everybody.
Yeah. What should we do every year?
Yeah. But that I did enjoy the Orange Lantern Scrooge McDuck Lar Flees dude. I thought he was cool, but other than that.
He has a cool design. I like him.
He does. He has a cool design. Yeah. I like the idea that there is only one Orange Lantern because the thing is greed.
Yeah.
But
it all belongs to me.
Yes.
Just swimming
all the time. Oh yeah, the whole planet.
Swimming in a silo of coins.
It was rings. It was Orange Lantern rings. It's just him swimming through those Orange Lantern rings.
I was trying to. I'm mixing up DuckTales with.
That is DuckTales life.
No, that's like DuckTales. What do I usually mix it up with though?
Berg. Tailspin.
I mix up Tailspin with DuckTales. No, I never mixed up that intro.
Gargoyles.
Stop it. It's naming as many as you can.
90s.
Oh, is it Gargoyles on HBO right now?
Mm-hmm. No, it's on Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney. Oh, my bad. Jeez.
Yeah. All those things are on Disney Plus. Dude, I wonder if Bonkers.
We talked about before getting into here. Huh? I think so.
Bonkers
I think
should
so.
Be
maybe,
on Disney
maybe,
Plus.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, man, my brain's all jumbled up today, dog. I don't know. Well, I just cleaned the bathroom, so probably inhaled.
A little bleach drunk.
More, yeah, a little bleach drunk probably. You know, typical Sunday.
Yep.
That's what happens when I don't have work on a Sunday. It's just like, you know, skin high off of bleach and all that stuff, or clean the bathroom. So
that's right.
Everyone's got their vices.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. So good thing we some kind of a framework here to guide our conversation.
Dude, yeah. I'm glad for that.
Yesterday, Leslie and I went to the Museum of Contemporary Art here in Denver to see the Keith Haring exhibit that they have. It's they had some murals that they got from a shelter in New York City called the Grace House, and they basically just cut the walls out when they were redoing the place, and so they've turned it into this like traveling exhibit. It's pretty cool. So we were checking that out, and then we decided to check out the rest of the museum. And upstairs, they had some work by this Denver artist named Rick Griffith. And he had this, he does a lot of like type design, a lot of like protest signs and stuff like that. He's just got a really cool sensibility. And they had these posters that have like a flow chart on them. And it's an introductory ethic for designers and other thinking persons. And some of the like things on there really kind of stuck out to me, and I sent it to you, and I thought maybe we could talk about a few of them today.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If that's cool.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We can we'll pop a link to the MCA Denver page where you guys can see this this poster, and we'll probably revisit it because there's a lot more than just the three things we're going to talk about today.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
it was it's funny because at first, my bad.
Sorry, and if you want to see more of Rick Griffith's art, check him out on Instagram. He's just at Rick Griffith with two Fs, spelled the traditional way, RickGriffith. And if anybody who's listening to this knows Rick Griffith, Jesus Christ, I can't talk.
Yeah, better you than me, man. Yeah. I screw that up real quick.
And can put a bug in his ear about maybe coming on the show. That'd be really cool to talk to him, so.
And it'd be really, really cool.
Yeah, and just in general, if you know cool people who are doing interesting things, like tag them in Instagram posts or like send them to us at Schemes Come True Network so we can start building up our roster of guests. We've talked to a lot of really cool people, but
we want to
keep learning and keep bringing more attention to interesting and cool people doing fun stuff. So
yes, we're just collecting them at this point, like Pokemon.
Yes, you know, that's right. We got to catch them all. Gotta catch up. All right. So let's jump
in. You can take a minute to laugh about that. It's all right, you know.
You're right.
That
is one of the things on here.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's the listen to change and to laugh.
And to laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when you sent me this. Honestly, at first I thought Nick had sent it to me because I wasn't fully paying attention, and then I was just like, "Hey, I'm like, oh, that's Kirk. Whoa, come on, man!" it is something that Nick would send me, but you've been sending me stuff like this too. So I was just like, "Oh yeah," I'm like, "Oh my god, it's Kirk."
This especially. Sorry, like the way it's laid out and the type. Or the font specifically reminded me a lot of good fucking design advice.
Yeah.
So.
Which always comes neatly packaged. Mm-hmm. but I was like I said, I was off this weekend for work, so I try to make most use of my time, which I have been, but also my brain is just fried at the end of the week. It literally is just...
Oh, yeah.
Poo brain. So I was like, oh cool, Nick sent me this cool thing, and then I was just like, oh wait, no, Kirk sent me this. I'm like, I'll have to send this to Nick, or Nick probably already knows about it. If you guys aren't familiar with Nick, that's Yuri Vontovsky. Mm-hmm. At Yuri Vontovsky, the dope
man
ass
of many names.
Oh yeah. Well, I only know him by two, but you know, it's all good, but dope ass landscape photographer, designer, who's gonna be moving here soon to Austin, Tex-Mex. Which is also cool. But
mm-hmm.
I was checking this out, and I was just like, man, am I going to read all of these? And the thing is, it flows real nicely so that you do read all of them. And I mean, they're great points. Like, they're great just kind of concepts, mm-hmm. Or ideas, or just like a little bit of advice, but they lead to like so much more. And do we want to jump into the three that we're going to talk about right now?
Or? Yeah. I know one that like stuck out to you, you're saying, is make time for complexity.
Yeah. That one definitely rings true, just because myself being a very detail oriented person, to the point of madness, it's very key to how I create my stuff. And even I remember, so Nick was, I was working on something in Photoshop, and Nick is a beast at Photoshop, and I'm just like, oh man, I think I could do it like this way, right? Like, I was gonna do it very like broad brush type of way, and then kind of work in a little bit more detail. Like, I had an image that I wanted to delete background on and just have the image, the subject matter. Mm-hmm. And the way I was doing it was maybe going to be faster, but not as I guess
the product wouldn't look as good.
Yeah. It wouldn't have as much like quality to it, the way I was trying to do it. And he's just mm-hmm. like, no, he's like, you gotta do it this way. Make a mask. Huh?
They'd be rocks, not cobblestones.
Yeah, no, it was actually, I was working, it was on the crocodile piece, because I wanted to put it on a business card. Mm-hmm. To like have a program cards on our business card and such. And so I'm like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, all this little details I put in here, like also make time for complexity, scales and nails and all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't have to go around all this stuff. And it's just like, it's worth it in the end. It really is worth it in the end. See that just the time and dedication that you take to do something like that, right? And I mean, Nick, if anybody has seen Yuri Vontovsky's page, and if you ever seen him edit, it's like, holy shit. It's like, you know, every petal, like blade of grass, like hours upon hours to do what he does. So I really have to, you know, tip my hat to him. And, you know, kind of reinforcing to me, like, you know, make time for that complexity, because, you know, imagine if he had done some of the pieces that he's done. It's like, you could still see pixels on the edge of these, you know, whether it be like branches or leaves or trees. And it's just like, you know, it just doesn't look good because you didn't take that time to make it what you really envisioned it be. Or, you know, it's a first impression for others that have not seen your work before. And like, if you don't take that time to really make it stand out and make things kind of cohesive and what's another word?
So it looks clean.
Yeah. Sorry, God, I don't know, I'm blanking so hard. But yeah, to thank you, Mr. Kirk, to make it clean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, use that bleach brain.
Yeah. Get the scrubber out. But yeah, because it's because if you're gonna put a certain level of complexity and detail into an area of the piece, like, you might as well put it throughout the rest of the piece. You know what I mean? It's just showing that consistency. There we go. Showing that consistency throughout what you're doing. It's like if you were writing, you're like, oh man, I'm getting really, really wordy and like very like detailed, and then all of a sudden you're just like, hey, what red? Like,
you know, oh, yeah. Next, like, it just doesn't like, flow. Whoa. It's not consistent.
No. It drops you out immediately from what you know, what you're reading or what you're looking at, because it's just like, oh, the person just fell asleep, or they got tired of doing the level of quality that they did in the piece of work and stuff. So yeah, I think that's very important. You know, even as, like I said, as crazy as I can get with it, you know, I think you just have to kind of choose your battle on certain pieces when it comes to that, or certain works of, you know, certain writing, or, you know, photography, filmmaking, whatever.
Yeah, but, anything.
You know, yeah, but if you're going to do it, then, you know, put the time in. So mm-hmm. I like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Did you want to add anything to that? Or did I just take up way too much time?
No, you're fine. I think it's like, the interesting thing about a lot of these is that they can be interpreted in a number of ways. So like yeah. making time for complexity, like when you sit down to plan a project, making sure to allot the time necessary to do your best work, to add that those layers of complexity. Because like you were saying, like with writing or with illustration or with anything, like if you have a certain time frame and you don't budget the time well, you don't make or create the time to do things like to the level that you are either being asked to do it or like you just, your own standards, the work's going to frustrate you. So doing that kind of planning at the beginning, that backwards design, like we talk about with fucking lesson planning and stuff like that. I mean, it's, it makes sense because you can, when you know the goal and you map out the steps to get there, you can then build in that time to, add our the time to create those details and to add all those little things that make the work really pop.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I need to incorporate that into like writing, maybe spend less time with complexity in the first draft and really use the second draft to build in that and to make that time in the second draft of something to add to make concepts and characters more complex.
Yeah. Also kind of running into that myself too, because in the spare time or when it really hits me, like I am, writing the graphic novel as well. Mm-hmm. And I've like literally started it like 5 times in the past like 2 weeks. Just, all right, I'm gonna start off from like this line and then this could be a possibility, or that could be a possibility, that could be a possibility. And once again, this goes along with making time for complexity. It's world building is really fucking hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is, because there's so much to think about.
There's a lot to think about. Because I'm trying to base it off of things that have happened in my life, but then put it into a more fantastical world. But when you add those fantastical elements, you have to then consider, how they kind of string together and how the world works, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, you're creating mythology is basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
This is really tough, man. I love it. There are parts when I love it, and there are parts where I just like hate it because I overthink, or it's like, I'm like, well, you're gonna draw inspiration, right? That's just gonna happen at this point. We've lived on, we're in a time on this earth where most things have been done, but as I always say, and I think I've said it on this podcast, and I'm always going to say it, is like perspective is everything. Everyone has a very different perspective. Some people cross over, but some people can take things very differently from other people and feel a certain way about seeing a symbol or, whatever. It's, whatever. Like I said, brain is kind of today. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, you guys can kind of understand, like, my experience is different from Kirk's experience, different from, anybody's experience outside of this podcast or whatever like that, but we do have some intersection there. But it's like literally, all right, cool, you're taking the world that you know, but you're also kind of diving into like a little mythology that maybe exists, and then you're trying to also put in like stuff that doesn't exist and trying to feel that out and like see how it works. And it is taking that time to plan it out, to really think it out, instead of being like, I'm just going to start writing lines. It's like, you don't know where you're going, then you just kind of spin your wheels at that point. Yeah. So you have to think broadly and then, start to think a little bit more, getting a little bit of a smaller picture. So big picture, small picture, you're zooming in.
Yes, Musashi.
Yeah.
But that actually plays into the next thing was discover or create restraint or constraints.
Yeah.
And I think that's super important for what you were just talking about, like having that roadmap and allowing for some kind of play with the boundaries. But if you have a plan or a structure in place, trying to kind of stay within those. And it's interesting how often, like, I don't know, I've listened to a few different authors talk about using constraints when they start planning their writing and how much creativity that allows, because you have like this, you know, this sandbox that you can't stray out of, but then you find so much room within it to create. It's yeah. like, it's the, that weird idea, or it's not a weird idea, but like an idea, a concept of infinity that I didn't think about or even realize existed until I got to grad school. And we were talking about numbers and number theory and stuff like that. And it was, it blew my mind. And I've since shared this with students that I've had, and they look at me like I'm stupid because they're like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. But basically, like, we started with, you know, you have two. And like, okay, what happens when you cut two in half? You have one. When you cut one in half, you have one and a half, then a fourth, then an eighth, then a 16th, whatever. And the professor kind of concluded with, like, basically any number that you can think of, or like any two numbers you can think of, there are an infinite amount of numbers between those two numbers. So like in yeah. between one and two, there are an infinite amount of numbers. And I was just like, yeah. oh, my brain hurts. But again, that's constraints. Like you could use, choose, you know, 1/32nd and 2/32nds. And in between those two fractions, there are an infinite number of numbers. And it's just,
yeah.
you've narrowed your focus, but you still have so much room to play yeah. and create and, you know, just do stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm loving it off on you, man.
I was doing, yeah. I was falling into that like rule of threes thing where it's like I said two things and I have to say a third thing, otherwise it doesn't sound right.
Right, like I really got to finish strong to nope. do stuff, and I'm like, yeah. Of course, I'm like at that level right now. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, Mr. Kirk. Well, he's a genius.
maybe we're only going to talk about two things today instead of three.
That last one could be a little bit of a stretch.
Oh,
yeah, no. But yeah. So discover or create restraint or constraints. That reminds me of, say, so real quick. I'll relate it to myself for a minute, and then I'll kind of put it out in the broad sense. I know, mad selfish, but I don't know. Like sometimes I have to catch myself. I'm like, I'm talking about myself too much. But I have a lot of experiences, but or just like realizations about things. Not like I'm like a huge deep thinker or whatever, like a philosopher. But it's just like I think about these things, and it's nice to kind of share them with people so they kind of understand, you know, what's going through my head. But
yeah, they're your bleach revelations. You have a bunch of visions while you're.
Bro, I'll tell you what. I spent a little too much time in the bleach, and I was just like, should I get out? And I'm like, maybe like in a few minutes. I'm good though. I'm good. Yeah. So I kind of had like a little bit of like a mental breakdown. It wasn't a huge one, but it was when I was kind of figuring out a new style for the graphic novel and stuff, for that art. And like I talked about like a few weeks ago, I was like, oh man, like I didn't get anything done. I just had trash, you know, balled up piece of paper in my trash and whatever like that. But you're like, you know, you're doing the work. You're doing what it takes to like get on that way. And when I was creating in that way, I didn't have any constraints. I just kind of like piece of paper, go. And I was expecting myself to just make some shit up, right? You know what I mean? Like make it up and then make it perfect. But recently I've been trying to use a lot more reference, or even just use like, I'll like take a photo of something. I'll be like, all right, well, I'm going to focus on this to draw from, because now I have constraints. Now I have limits. Like this is, you know, this is the main composition. Just follow the steps, right? Mm-hmm. Just do the sections, you know. Oh, you'll like right now I'm working on like my self-portrait and all that stuff. I like barely got to do any of it last week or this past week because I was just dog tired from work, but I got to do a bit over the weekend and all that stuff. And it's just like, all right, well, here's the phone. All right, I've, you know, put in the rendering on the phone. Here's my face. I've literally gone back on my face like 100 fucking times, but I think I'm settled on it right now. It's all good. Let's do this jacket. Man, I hate doing a cloth sometimes, but like, You got to do cloth. Like, you know what I mean? It's just kind of, here are the sections of the piece. Now you just have to knock them out. Mm-hmm. And you can add like kind of little weird things. I'm going to add little weird things in there. I can't do just like a straight like still life or self-portrait without just doing some weird shit in there, right? Like I have to have a little sprinkle of weirdness in there just to make it art. Or I didn't mean to put the air quotes, but like, I don't know. Like I like putting kind of fun stuff in there, whatever.
For sure.
But yeah, it's like, you know, you have your constraints and then you can, I'm finding ways in which I can get a little creative. And I think with certain films that that we've watched or just people have watched in general, say even like remakes, it's like, you know, say when, you know, you have a low budget movie, you have to make the best of that budget as you can. Like, you know what I mean? Like they always say like horror movies are, you know, usually gonna be like low budget kind of the first starting film because you don't have a crazy amount of money to start with, but you can get creative. You can make something out of this. And it's like, oh, wow. You know, this is really, you know, may have been a simple story, but, you know, the characters are great and all that stuff. And, you know, whatever, you go make bigger and better films from there. But when it's like, you don't have any restrictions, it's like, yo, your budget's like, you know, $200 million. Or like, you know, it's just like an ass load of cash. It starts to go crazy. It's like, you know, fuck the characters, fuck the story. Let's just add special effects. Like, you know, let's use this budget. And then it just goes crazy. Or, you know, we've watched a couple films, at least like one or two recently that like had a pretty good thing going with them. And then they just decided to add this story, add that story, or, you know, do this and do that. And it's just like, you know, sometimes it's good to just be limited. Which is something I rarely say because a lot of myself growing up, like because of, you know, my health condition or, you know, whatever, it was limited a lot. Like I don't like using that, but there are times creatively when you need to limit yourself in order to have more substance or get something done, right? Because if you have like, oh, I got an empty canvas, I can do anything on here. It's like, you're going to try and do anything and everything, and you're going to erase a lot. You're going to rip it off. You're going to be like, oh, I don't know what to do because I haven't brought myself into focus. But when it's like, I can focus on this thing, then that's when you can, you know, you start working. You start making something out of this. And, okay, cool, you did this, and now you can move on from there. But, yeah, I think it's very important that we kind of be like, hey, whoa, like, bring it back. You know what I mean? You have time to expand later, but like at least get the core down, you know?
So that's right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that goes along with making a plan, right? Like creating a plan, you've created or discovered constraints that you can put on your work, which
exactly.
Yeah. Otherwise you end up with a mess. A lot of the time. Yeah. Not all of us are blessed with the ability to be able to just to follow the thread of a dream like that. I don't know if anybody really can, even if they say that they are able to.
How you mean?
I don't know. Like I think those moments of pure inspiration often come from that grunt work that you put in ahead of time, the planning and the layout and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or something you've been thinking on.
Yeah, like it has to be like really fleshed out. And then I think we talked about it's like, well, if like Hitchcock or whatever like that. Maybe. It's somebody we're talking about, but it's just like the movie was already like in their head or whatever like that. All I had to do was, I forget who I was having this conversation with.
You're talking about Michelangelo and the block of stone? And how he could see the sculpture in the block.
Oh, maybe it was that. Yeah, it was like, we were talking about it was either Michelangelo or like Michelangelo or like filmmakers or whatever like that. Just they know what they already know what they want to do, and that's just like now they're just doing the work. Might have been a conversation I had with like Magnus or something like that at some point. But it's just like you already have it all figured out. You just have to literally physically, you know, make the sculpture or you know, make the film, you know, whatever from there. But yeah. It is That's a key concept that I wish I knew like years ago. But you know, we're here now.
Yeah, that's right. Better you learn it now than, you know, never at all.
Never. So. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll take that.
But yeah, the other thing I like about this is that at the, like, it's sort of a flow chart, but at the end it says make a thing have value and say thank you.
Yeah.
And I think all of these things like go towards creating something with value. And I mean, that was when we first started talking about doing the show. It came out of the idea from your dad that we should create something that has value.
Yeah.
Value to people. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think that's why the poster kind of jumped out at me initially, was that when you set out to design something, when you set out to make something, make sure it's going to have value.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know when we were first doing this, it was just like kind of piggybacking off of, you know, doing the movie reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, I kind of want to do something more. And it was, of course, the time of when COVID was like in its heyday. I mean, it's still something obviously we got to watch out for, right? I hope you guys are getting your vaccines and being responsible out there, washing your hands if you use the bathroom.
Still, yeah. Wash those hands. Wash those paws.
Wash those nasty ass hands of yours, people. Mm. Right now, all the way back to the episode of like one or two, right?
Yeah.
But it came out of like, I want to be able to do something that's going to make a difference. That's going to be able to prop people up and, like as much as we want to entertain, we also want to educate people too. And we're not saying that we're like pros at this,
no, not at all.
Whatever this is. But we'd like to hope that you guys enjoy listening to us and, you know, take some lessons away, and also from our guests, take some of their experiences away, and you know, kind of start your own project and you know, go from there. But yeah, but that's the key value here. It's like just being able to kind of pass that information along, or something comes up, like people are able to share it with each other, or, you know, just something to make us feel fulfilled. You know,
yeah. So. Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things on here too that stuck out to me, is invent ways to share.
Yeah.
Get that stuff out there.
We're doing it.
That's right. We're doing it, Peter.
Slowly but surely, we're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting ride. Mm. It's almost been a year.
Hasn't it?
Good Lord. Almost. Huh? Yeah, we're going to look back.
I mean, if we're talking about Corey in the house, it's probably been close to a year.
Yeah.
But I think this show, sure. it hasn't been that long yet, because this is episode 36.
Yeah. And
we're doing, you know, one a week, so we haven't hit that 52 yet, but we're...
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of, like the Midnight Gospel episode for a minute, but it all kind of like melded together for a bit, but yeah, we do have to separate them out.
There are 42-ish of those, or there were like six of those, so we're 42-ish something, I don't know,
but yeah.
But regardless, we're here now, and we're a lot you know,
a lot smarter.
smarter. And they still haven't pulled the plug on us yet. We're still here, we're still out here. And
I mean, dude,
the podcast streets.
Who's flying under the radar, baby? Don't know how. But I'm not mad at it. I'm going to keep going.
Me either.
I'm just going to keep going. But, we're just going to get stronger.
That's right. If you'd like to help us keep going, check us out over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/schemescometrue. If you got questions or comments, you want to suggest guests or tag people, you know, that should be on the show, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Schemes Come True Network. And please don't forget to do the whole like rate, review, subscribe thing, because that helps us become a little more visible, and then maybe we can attract some more guests to the show that way as well. Yeah. Big thank you, you know, to Rick Griffith for the inspiration for this week's episode. Follow him on Instagram at Rick Griffith, spelled the traditional way.
Always.
And, you want to take us out, Corey? Oh, wait, we got to thank.
I got
to thank the patrons. Oh, shit.
You always take us out. I bring us in, remember?
I know, yeah. your freaking bleach is leaking through the computer and into my brain. But Big thank you to our patrons, Peter B, Sean J, the lovely Seymour Butts, Barton Creative, and the young Jun himself, Cam G.
No, I got it this time, baby.
You got it. You got it this time.
The young gun. Young Jun. I said it with such confidence the first time.
Oh, man, I was so proud of you.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Patreon. We're here. We're out here.
We out here.
We out here.
Yeah.
We should probably go before our brains just really disintegrate. So we'll talk to you soon, people.
All right, later, guys.
Bye.